B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as trying to record a podcast with Dave's loud truck in the background.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is Little Dice. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Craig? What's going on, man? Football has started, and
oh, it's beautiful.
A good sign of the times is Hard Knocks. Starts today on HBO, 9 p.m. Central Time, or as otherwise known as God's time.
What?
Don't tell Dave that, he gets offended every time.
That's right. But yeah, I'm interested to see the Lions. I mean, all the former Saints and Saint coaches that are there for Hard Knocks. So I'm looking forward to that, and you know, it should be interesting. Good old Hard Knocks.
Yeah, my wife and her family's from Detroit, so I have got a little soft spot for the Lions. As long as they're not playing us, you know,
yeah.
I'll see how they're doing. I'll check in on them. So I'll glance over a couple times. I'll remember that it's all scripted nonsense for TV, and I'll get mad
it's
at
real.
It.
It's real.
Back to where we were.
It's reality television.
Yeah. Yeah, so is The Bachelorette. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you know how we do on a beer run. We got four downs. We're gonna talk about some beer. We've got some Saints camp news, tons of news, right? And we're going to give you a little bit of an update with our underdog and dark horse thing. But we're also going to talk about possible trades and Are this a good idea or not? And, of course, we're going to wrap it up with our game preview and the Saints and the Texans in preseason, man. I'm excited about it. So, referees.
Yeah.
Get out there, spot the ball. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right, Craig, what you drinking, bro?
All right, I am feeling it, man. We got Saints football this week. Michael Thomas looks amazing. Everything's happening. I'm pumped. I got the Houdat Golden Ale from Urban South Brewery down here in beautiful, beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana.
Houdat.
It is only 5%. It's Golden Ale. It's not really my type, but good Lord, it's called a Houdat.
Yeah.
All right, it is a Houdat beer, and I am drinking the hell out of this thing. The only thing that sounds better than a Houdat chant in the dome is this beer getting cracked open. This is good stuff. It is delightful. It is light. It looks identical to a Budweiser. We found that out by accident today, but it's real good. It's light. Toast to the third coast.
Yeah.
Cheers. What are you drinking?
All right, listen, man. If you see the Bud Lights out there with the Saints cans, like, you go ahead and grab it. All right. Because I would definitely grab anything with the Saints cans. All right. But unfortunately for me, I am not drinking very good. I am drinking another one of these S'more Pugs from Rahr and Sons Brewing Company. This was a terrible beer, and I bought 6 of them. And we just got to power through these things because I'm not going to throw
them
away.
You just got to power through them. Just, we're gonna. How many you got left? You got 4 left?
I got 4 left. Yeah, I got 4 left.
We're going to finish them all on this show. We're going to power through one per down. I'll keep up with you over here. I got a few on the side. Now, we're gonna get you through this together.
Now, this would actually be a punishment to chug right here, bro. It's got a little pop to it. It's all right. So
a little bit. I laughed over it, but it's a good pop. Oh, the look on your face. That is not a pleased man.
It's not a good.
Do you have any like whiskey you can chase it with?
I could get some more whiskey and stuff, but you know.
You get not replace with, chase with. So that way there's no lingering aftertaste. You just get a little bit of that nice, warm, comfy blanket that is bourbon.
Yeah. I mean that would fix it. That would fix it. So
Well, I feel bad for you. So in order to have you feel like I'm in the trenches here with you, I've got myself a classic American Budweiser right here. And I'm going to perform the traditional beer bet loss of having to drink one of these in one go so that we can both be struggling through this together.
All right.
So
what a guy.
Just know that I'm here in the trenches with you, buddy.
What a guy, I tell you. Oh.
Now, I don't want people at home to think that wasn't all that much beer, because that was a whole beer. I'm just real thirsty nowadays.
Yeah, I can't chug beer like that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're 3 feet shorter than me. It's an O lineman thing. Once you join the offensive line, like after our first practice, they just pass out like ribs, sushi, and beer, and you have to be able to eat all of it.
Okay, that makes perfect sense then.
If you know anyone who has ever played offensive line, ask them if they go to sushi, all you can eat sushi, and they'll say, yep. And I get a bunch of beer there. Mm.
Okay, well, these are the facts that we need to learn about our offensive lineman brethren.
Yeah, we're not going to be recording another of the Big Ugly podcast for a couple weeks. But when we do, we'll have an entire section on Big Ugly Eats and where you're going to find packs of roaming big uglies. Ooh. In the wild eating all the food.
That sounds like an interesting show right there, because
it's a fun show.
I like to eat, so let's do it.
Yeah, buddy.
Second down.
All right, let's get into Saints camp news.
Camping. Well, there's a new thing going round. People sleeping on the
I got on the agenda. If there haven't been any more Saints fights since Dennis Allen like put Penning out and who was it, Roach?
That's a bummer. It's a bummer. And like, that was our daily entertainment, was seeing who my guy beat up on a given day.
I just watched.
I just want to make it clear to everybody, he didn't start any of those three fights. Not one of them did he actually start. People got mad that he was showing them up, and they threw hands at him, and it was like, oh, look, he's a dirty player. Like, no, dude, he pissed off some guys, and they got mad at practice. It happens.
The one with JT Gray, that's the one I've seen the most of. I mean, yeah, he totally stonewalled his blitz, and JT Gray thought he was going to get away with some little cheap shot, and Penning was like, yo, nah, I'm not having that, fam.
No, sir.
And JT Gray assessed the situation.
And like the way that he was blocking in space and everything, it was a good play. And he made a good play. JT Gray's like, oh, well, this.
Yeah.
He pushes him off, and then he steps back and is like, hold on a second. This was a mistake.
Right. He assesses the situation like, hello.
Man, I am quickly turning into my favorite player, Trevor Penning. I'm so excited to see him hit people who aren't in on same jersey as him pretty soon.
Yeah. That was a big man. So yeah, you definitely want to stick and move. That's where you're going, you know.
Look, man, it's the O linemen, they tussle a little bit, you know. It gets a little bit choppy in there, you know. I have some of my closest friends to this day have punched me in the face during practice because that sometimes it just gets a little choppy.
It's hot out there. Yeah, I can.
It's hot. You're sweating. It's your first time. You're hitting each other for, you know, however many months in the off season, you know, you're working, you don't want to get showed up, you know, you want to make sure the coaches think you're doing better than he is. Yeah. And he's going 100% and you're like, oh, I thought we were taking it easy this rep. Yeah. He hits you a little bit late and you hit him back and then you throw punches and you still go get sushi the next day. Okay. You're good.
All right. Camp life.
Football is family, bro.
All right.
It's family. You ever, you know, you wrestle around with your brother, it gets a little bit too rough, you get a fat lip, he's still your brother the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, Davenport is back.
It's alive.
Are we excited about this?
It's too early. he came back in time to hurt himself again before the season started.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to come back until like 5 minutes before kickoff in week one.
You know?
Now he's got four. So he's probably not going to play in preseason.
I hope not.
But that's four more weeks of opportunities, or three, I guess three games now. Three games and 4 weeks of opportunities for him to get himself hurt and miss actual games.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad. So
it's just so frustrating. He's just so talented, and it's so frustrating that we can't see him on the damn field ever.
He's good. So, okay, well, that will bring us pretty much to a full defensive end kind of room, right? with Peyton Turner being back, Grandison out there, Cam's out there, you know, passing Yo's been out there. Like, we're pretty much at full strength, that defensive end, right?
That's five starting caliber defensive ends.
And we still got Taco out there.
For two spots. And I didn't even talk about a former first-round pick, Taco. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's deep. Mm-hmm. That's the deepest position on the team, right?
Oh, yeah! We will get into that when we get to the depth chart. Yes, sir.
I mean, that little possible foreshadowing for later. Yeah, that's a lot of defensive ends that can go out there and play football.
Okay. One of the biggest stories is Jameis Winston hurt his foot. What?
I got nothing. He hurt his foot. It's fine. It's not his knee. His knee is recovering fine. Yeah. They say he sprained his foot is the most recent thing that we heard. That's a nothing injury. That's a, if it happened in the regular season, he'd still play on it kind of thing. I'm not worried about it.
Okay, so.
I mean, this is important right now that he practices, right?
Well,
you want him to build. It's important that he builds, you know, the connection and the timing with all these guys.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's not. If this happened in the regular season, he would play. You know, I'm not freaking out about it.
Okay.
They said he's day to day already, right. So I'm not freaking out at all.
I know for sure he's going to miss this upcoming preseason game, which is a disappointment.
I don't think he was going to play in it anyway.
I don't know.
I mean, how often did Breeze play in the preseason? I mean, the Saints don't put a lot of starters.
Yeah.
Before any of this happened, I would have predicted that Winston, Thomas, and Kamara would all miss everything. I don't think Jordan's going to play. I don't think Davis is going to. This whole game is just going to be seeing the bottom of the roster, guys. I don't think we're going to see any of these starters really until week one.
Okay.
That's just – I just don't see the value in it at this point. You know, it's such a – it's 17-game season, and you only have a few preseason games. You only get pads on a couple of weeks before the preseason game starts. I just don't think there's the value in risking injury at this point.
So would you give James Hurst the night off?
maybe. I mean, I'd probably start Penning. I'd let him get some live fire reps.
I pretty much let him play until like the third quarter or until – the scrubs come in. If I see the scrubs coming in, I'm taking them out.
I mean,
yeah.
I want to see what he can do against another jersey because we have a big question was if he could adapt to the next level of competition coming from a small school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the Texans, so we still don't know, but it's at least closer to what an NFL team looks like.
Okay. Well, speaking of small school, DeMarco Jackson is on injured reserve.
I understand you're just stunting on that because there was an LSU linebacker available when we took Jackson. So he's been reminding us for a while now that, oh, that LSU linebacker, he looked pretty good. He looks pretty good. Like, yeah, we know. It's fine. So now with him getting hurt, Dale's on his victory tour doing laps.
I'm just saying DeMone Clark is a better linebacker. We should have taken him. Now, I don't know if DeMarco Jackson going to end up coming back this season. Because, I mean, just because you're on injured reserve doesn't mean – you're going to be out the whole year. So it's possible he can be back to contribute.
I could see him being like a Smoke Monday thing where they're stashing him away so that they can keep him around longer term.
Yeah.
You know, so that it's more of a 2023 kind of situation.
Yeah, I just don't see a rookie.
Because he's a rookie, he's missing all this time in practice. It's not going to be worth it to bring him back later because he's not going to know what the hell he's doing. So, stash him like Smoke Monday, stash him away for the year, give him next offseason to get up to speed, and maybe he can contribute.
Yep, agreed. Alante Taylor left practice early. Now, this is today's
he's
practice.
Fine. Though.
Okay, so, yeah.
They said after practice that he's doing all right.
Okay, all right. Michael Thomas has been a beast. Nobody can cover him. The former beast of the camp.
Could you say that perhaps you can't guard Mike?
I think he's living up to this because the former beast of the camp, Paulson Adebo, shutting down everybody. Don't matter who you line up against. Mike Thomas comes in there and boom, one-on-one, he gets a reception right away.
No hesitation. This didn't surprise anybody. The last he was the best receiver in football before he got hurt, and it wasn't all that close, at least in my opinion.
I was concerned about him not being able to get those cuts as violently as, you know, he's used to doing. But yeah, all my worries are out the window now. This is business as usual. We're good to go.
Yeah, I mean we did it. Yeah, we did it on this show, right? We were breaking down those workout videos. Right. Like, well, he's cutting, but he's kind of rounding it, and he's not cutting to the left. Now his cuts are violent. Right. They're abrupt. They're sudden. He looks great. He looks as good as he has ever looked. I am so, and his numbers will not be the same as they were. Obviously,
right,
there was a
weapons.
Season where the most accurate passer. Yeah, we had the most accurate passer in NFL history, forcing him the ball every down because we didn't have anybody else. Now he's surrounded by talent and a much less accurate quarterback, if we're being honest. So his numbers aren't going to be the same, but that doesn't mean that he's not the same player. I expect him to be a weapon. I expect Jarvis Landry to be a weapon. I expect Olave, who's already building a connection with Winston, to be a weapon. I'm getting excited again. I don't know if you all can tell. This is a big deal. I'm pumped, man. This is going to be fun.
The camp reports are saying he's like a target monster. And it doesn't matter what quarterback is throwing the ball. Like, the ball is coming toward Mike Thomas.
quarterbacks tend to throw to open guys. And you can't guard Mike.
Yeah, apparently, man. So.
Yeah, dude just gets open. It's one of those things where, you know how everyone used to say about Jerry Rice, that he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the biggest, but he was just open.
You know how to get open.
And Thomas is the same way. He just gets open. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you can say about it. His cuts are good. His routes are good. His hands are good. But I don't know that he's the best in any one aspect of the game. Yet he's always open. He's always making plays.
Another guy I've been seeing a lot of videos on and reading a lot of different things about him, Kirk Merritt. Like, he's a small guy. But he's always catching the ball in practice. He gets open a lot. He's a little he's fast. He's twitchy. He reminds you of that Dante Hardy kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he has return ability, but I guess we're going to find out upcoming preseason, right? But he's been opening eyes, and there's been a lot of talk about Merritt.
Yeah, the receiver group has just been so impressive lately that, guys like Callaway might not make the team. Guys like Smith might not make the team. Because even with the big three that we have, we also got guys like Merritt who are showing up making plays. Guys like Dixon who are showing up making plays. It's a lot of competition for those remaining spots. Yeah. And it only means good. It's only a good thing for the team that we have such kind of hard decisions to make.
Yeah. So we'll see if he ends up making a practice squad or the 53. But I hear about this guy every day. I see him so often on Twitter with the different videos from camp. So good on you, Kirk Merritt. Keep it up, bro. Let's go.
You can't have too many good players.
Yeah. Let's go over to the depth chart, because the Saints released an unofficial, it's an official unofficial depth chart, okay?
Unofficial. It is officially the most unofficial official depth chart in the history of officiating.
Right, exactly. Now, what jumped out at you the most about this depth chart? I think the top thing for me is for tight end, we have Adam Trautman or Taysom Hill as the starting tight end. Mm. So that or.
I'm not sure that surprises me, though. I mean, Taysom is a freak athlete. He's a good player. And when he had to play tight end in the past, he was good
at it. He only had one practice.
So I don't know that it surprises me. But he's played tight end in previous seasons. Yeah. So it's not like he's learning the position this year. Yeah, we think he might play it more than he used to. But it's not a brand new thing for him, you know?
Okay.
I don't know that there's any shocks on offense. Tony Jones Jr. being as high as he is, I think is surprising to a lot of folks. I think a lot of guys are looking for, UDFAs and looking for trades. And, you know, a way to, ways to strengthen the running back room. But, you know, that's, the Saints are high on Tony Jones. Mm-hmm. So I think he's still going to be in that mix. And this first unofficial official couldn't possibly be more official is a good sign of that.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, like, what does really what does this mean? So looking at the running back depth chart, they have Devon Ozigbo right underneath Mark Ingram. So is he in the second spot? Or is it just that they had so many names that
it goes right to left and it does a second line. So okay. Ozigbo is real far down the list.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right then. Wow. This is terrible then. My guy Abram Smith.
Ozigbo is a guy I thought was making the team. Yeah. I thought Ozigbo was gonna make the team, dude. I thought his skill set fit better, and it looks like it's just not translating. It's kind of how I was really excited about that CJ Spiller signing a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it ended up having one great moment and not a lot else. You know what? Two great moments. Cause he also caught the seventh touchdown pass from Drew Brees in that game against the Giants. Mm-hmm. So CJ Spiller was a good signing. I take it back. Everything I ever said. CJ Spiller was a good signing. Cause he had the seven touchdown pass and he beat the Cowboys in overtime.
Yeah, that's right.
Swing route.
Legend.
But yeah, I thought Ozigbo was going to fit in better. So him being buried on the depth chart, I guess, is kind of a surprise. Running back is just going to be so fluid, though. Those guys take such a pounding. Everybody gets hurt. You know, there's going to be in it. Someone is going to be injured at running back in the next couple of weeks.
Man.
And it's going to get shaken up.
Injuries are huge, bro. Like, just surviving the camp, you know, as long as you stay.
Which is why none of these guys should play in preseason. Preseason is a joke.
Yeah.
If it was actually about getting ready for the season, it would be are these joint practices that teams do,
right,
like we're going to do with Green Bay next week. These preseason games, they're just to sell tickets and make money. They're not for the teams. They're not for the players. It's just the NFL squeezing a little bit more juice out of that money they can get out of this. There's nothing to it. If I had my way, the Saints would forfeit all three preseason games, keep all their guys healthy, and go beat the snot out of somebody week one.
Yeah. When I used to have season tickets back in the day, they were like $250. But they sold it to you like in 10-game packages, right? And now part of that 10 games was the preseason. Okay, they counting those games. So yeah, it's something else. But hey, we only get one preseason game at home now. Like, what's up with that?
Yep.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's an odd number of games, so you're not going to get the you know, two guaranteed, I guess, because of that reason.
Yeah, and no matter what, if there's an odd number, then one team gets shafted, and that team will always be the same.
Right.
Every time. You'll notice that we lost a home game for London this year, too.
Yeah.
In the 1 year we were supposed to have an extra home game because we had an extra road game last year. Well, this year, instead of having an extra home game, we get the farthest road game possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The NFL they don't even try to pretend they don't hate us. The NFL hates us.
I'm telling you, Saints fans, you know the truth. Just go out there, man, and speak truth. That's all you got to do. Speak truth.
All of our conspiracy theories have been proven in the last couple of years.
We got data to back this up, man. I'm telling you.
Goodell's got the FBI showing up at the Saints facilities and raiding it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastard. Oh, wait. I'm getting the news stories confused.
All right, back to the depth chart. What position do you think is the weakest on this depth chart here?
Both sides of the ball or just offense?
Both sides of the ball.
Okay. I am worried about tight end because I think Taysom Hill can be good at it. I think Troutman can be good at it, but, you know, they're both ifs. And I think Taysom's going to do a lot of other things. So I feel weird about saying he's a tight end and therefore the tight end is okay. So I think tight end is weak. I'm still worried about safety. Safety might be really great. It might be really strong. May is looking good. Evans is looking solid. Matthew is, of course, Matthew. But that makes me nervous because we haven't seen any of them play together. And it's such a bookend of the defense that, you know, their chemistry with the corners and the linebackers and stuff is really important. So that makes me a little nervous. So safety, tight end, I think the weakest position is second defensive tackle. I think Onyemata is very good, but he's not a true one. He's more of a three tech. And I think not having a big space eater at defensive tackle is the biggest hole Saints.
Man, that's exactly where my eyes went. Like, I know Shy Tuttle is, you know, technically our starter, but, you know.
And, you know, your Saints fans love him for that Thanksgiving play.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he's.
Yes, love that too.
Yeah, I love him too. But, yeah, no, there is room to improve there. And the defensive tackle spot has a lot of capable guys mm-hmm. in rotation, you know, adding Street and having some of these other backups. I mean, there's a lot of players there that can play. That's a big weakness to me. I think more because the offensive line has question marks, but they also have really good players. Tight end has question marks, but you know, Troutman has shown flashes. Taysom can do some things. Safety has good players that should end up working out. I think defensive tackle is the thin spot.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in agreement here, and you know how much I love to agree with you on things.
Ugh, I hate this. This is bad radio. I changed my pick. I think quarterback is the weak spot because it's today.
But I also did hear that Andy Dalton's been looking pretty good, leading the offense and keeping everything going.
He's just solid. He's the perfect backup quarterback. He's not going to lose games. He's not going to wow anybody and win a bunch either. But if your quarterback is out for 3 weeks, it doesn't ruin your season because he's fine. And he's playing fine. He distributes the ball well. What he's good at is those checkdowns to the running backs, which are a big part of our offense in recent years.
Yeah.
Dude, honestly, I'm not freaked out about quarterback because I think Jameis is going to be fine. I think Jameis is going to be good. But if he got hurt longer term, we're still going to be okay. Yeah. The Red Rifle can get it done.
Well,
he's gotten it done historically in his career.
Listen, I don't know about long term. Like we don't want him in there for like 10 games and stuff. We don't need that.
Yes, the implication being that you don't want your starting quarterback hurt for 10 games. Thank you for your deep insight there, Lil Dice.
Okay, sure. But I'm just talking about people talking, you know, giving Andy his praises and all this kind of stuff. But, hey, he's a backup for a reason.
I mean, you can praise a guy without wanting his starter to get
hurt. I just think we went a little bit far by saying if he had to play 10 games, we'll be fine. No, we won't.
I think we're 5-5 if he plays 10 games.
Okay, 5-5.
Depending on where in the schedule it lands us.
5-5 doesn't get you in the playoffs. That's 500.
No, but if we have a winning record in those other 7 games, So what was Jameis last year? He was 5-2 in games he started, right? Uh-huh. So if he plays 7, goes 5-2, and then Dalton plays 10 games and he's 5-5. That's 10-7. That's a playoff team. Tell me I'm crazy. Okay. That 10-7 gets you in, right?
You're right. You're right. Okay.
I am always right.
All right. Well, what about the weakest? I'm sorry. The strongest position on the depth chart. Since we said defensive tackle is the weakest, for me, it's got to be cornerback.
That's a solid choice. It is deep.
Especially when you put CJ in the cornerback position where he belongs.
Yeah, which I guess he technically counts as, you know, it's slot corner. So, but I mean, there's 5 starting level corners on this team if you count CD Deuce. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The days when we were excited if Keenan Lewis was able to play for us, you know, we had guys like White lining up on the outside. It is amazing how far this defense has come from the old and terrible give up a billion yards and make Drew Brees go 7-9 days. Corner is absolutely stacked. I think defensive end is absolutely stacked. Yes.
Okay.
I think it's top heavy, but receiver might be the strongest position considering how good all 3 of the top 3 guys are playing right now or looking like they're going to be playing. I'll go defensive end just so we can argue a little bit.
Okay.
I think there's 5 defensive ends for 2 spots that can start games and get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing but a luxury. So my a lot of my fears about defensive tackle are related to stopping the run on early downs. Because when you get to later downs, those NASCAR packages where they have two, three of their four down guys are all defensive ends, that you're going to have guys like Davenport or Cam moving inside to throw moves on guards. That's just as an offensive lineman, that's nasty. I don't want that. Oh,
yeah, goodness. Yeah. Tell me about that. Like when you got like a speed rusher or whatever coming inside, I mean, how much more difficult it is to block those guys versus your normal
big
guys?
Yeah, the thing about it is it's just different. You know, a tackle goes against an edge rusher every down, and they have kick steps for it, and there's a whole part of your game dedicated to make sure he doesn't take the outside edge, he doesn't, you know, cross you up inside. There's a whole part of what you do. Guards don't do that because you're inside. You're more about crashing down, filling the cracks in that front shield wall, if you will, watching for the blitzing linebackers, getting the guys off their spots. And now you're being asked to, when you put a speed rusher inside like that, the outside guy is always going to go outside, or it's going to be a stunt or something like that, right? So that guy's moving away. You have less help to one side or the other. And now you've got a guy who doesn't want to go in and tussle with you. He's not going to throw a shoulder and bull rush you. He's going to put his foot in the dirt one way and try to make you move. And you're just not used to doing that. It's not part of your game. You're not an NFL guard because you're good at that. You're an NFL guard because you're good at the other things that guards are used to doing. If you're good at that, you're a tackle. So it's just making a guy do something he's not used to doing and something that he's not necessarily as good at when making him defend a speed rush as opposed to a bull rush or, you know, getting inside technique on a one tech, anything like that. It's just a different aspect of the game that guards and centers are not as good at because it's not part of their normal job function.
Well, what's your strategy when you see a smaller guy like that line up in front of you and you know it's a third down situation?
Well, best case scenario, you're able to crash down protections and it kind of shrinks the whole pocket down. So what that does is everything collapses in. The guard, the tackle, everything kind of steps down at the snap. And what that does, assuming this is pass play, of course, what that does is it doesn't make it a one-on-one anymore because he can't just run around you because now there's a tackle over there to your left and there's a center to your right and there's not anywhere for him to go and he has to engage with you. So the more spread out you are, so if you're in a five wide, you know, in that kind of situation, and everyone's shooting outside gaps, that puts you in the weakest position where the best way to combat that is to collapse everything down, make the pocket as small as possible, and have a quarterback who's able to step up in there and have that protection. The more spread out, the wider your splits, everything like that, the more vulnerable you are to those speed rush guys.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's move to our dark horse slash underdog update.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Now, Lucas Kroll returned to practice on the 4th. But after that, I haven't heard.
He's dead last on the depth chart.
Haven't heard much about him yet. You see where he is on the depth chart. It's not looking too good for Kroll here.
not at the moment.
Justin Evans. He broke up a pass at practice yesterday. That's about all I heard from him. Dejon Dixon. Now, this has been a guy, this is Tomas's guy. He's been a guy that's been making some plays. I've been seeing his name a lot in camp. He caught a touchdown during one-on-ones today. And I want to say it was like a 50-yard kind of play or something. It was pretty big. Like,
yeah, deep shot, yeah.
Like, yeah, this guy has been making plays now. Throckmorton, who was Craig's guy, he's second string right guard on the depth chart. I haven't heard anything bad about him. I haven't heard anything good, so I guess that's fine for offensive linemen.
So right? The general rule for offensive linemen, yeah, is that you don't hear anything, then he's doing pretty well.
Yeah. No,
and I picked Throckmorton as my dark horse because I knew he would be backing up Ruiz, and there was that question mark on whether or not Ruiz was going to turn the corner and be the player we all expected him to be as a first round pick. And it looks like he is. He's playing a lot better. He's getting a lot of praise from other players. He's getting praise from the coaches. This is the year that a first round, you know, an offensive lineman should turn that corner. Yeah. It takes 2 or 3 years to figure out the NFL sometimes at offensive line. So, you know, best case scenario for me, my dark horse is a backup all year, and it means that Ruiz is playing well and we have a good line.
I mean, hey, if he makes the team, I mean, that's That's good points for you right there.
I think he's making the team. He's playing guard. There's not a lot of guards on this roster. I know Hurst can do both, but he's probably going to start the year as a starter at left tackle, so he's not going to be in that mix. I don't think the question of whether or not he makes the team or not. I think the question is whether or not he's asked to contribute, and hopefully he doesn't have to right away because Ruiz is playing well. But I expect him to be on the roster. Third down for what?
One of the big topics that's been kind of burning up Twitter a little bit because a lot of speculation out there. So Chauncey Garner-Johnson, right? He been sitting out of practice, holding in, right? That's a term. So he's there. He's not really practicing, but he's there. Yeah, limiting his participation.
He is practicing. He is limiting his participation.
Yeah. And then he left one day, came back, and then when he came back, he actually practiced. So that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard anything else about his contract situation. And so when players have contract situations like this, us fans, we speculate. And so now we're thinking about possibly trading CJ to somewhere else. And some of the things people have been pointing out has been Kareem Hunt. He's looking for another contract. Why don't y'all just switch players, CJ for Kareem Hunt, and then everybody be happy? So would you be interested in that kind of trade, Craig?
Would I be interested in that? Because, yeah, I okay. would. I think Hunt will end up being more expensive than CD in the long run. I think there's a way to get it done.
Like money-wise, or you mean like compensation? Trade compensation.
No, I think money wise, because I think you can get away with picks for when you get disgruntled players like this, it's a cancer. You don't want to have him on the roster if he doesn't want to be here anymore. Okay. Like that, we're going to talk about him a little bit later. That linebacker in Chicago, he's going to go quick because you start burning those bridges like that, and it drops your price tag. And I think that's happened with Hunt, and might be happening pretty soon with Chauncey.
Yeah, that's the other.
So I'm not worried about compensation.
That's the other trade that scenario that everybody is pointing out is Roquan Smith, who's requested a trade officially. He put it out there on Twitter. And so people were talking about CJ for Roquan Smith. I'm sure.
Doesn't Smith play middle, though?
Middle linebacker, yes.
Yeah, no, we don't need a middle linebacker. So I would like to have him around. I'm sure there's a way we could make him useful, but he's not a need right now. You know, we have the best middle linebacker in football, in my humble opinion.
I agree, but this same point, my future self from 3 years will kick my behind for saying that, because Roquan Smith will be a linebacker for the next, I don't know, 5 years or so, and Mario Davis probably got 3 seasons left in him, maybe.
So you want to spend 3 seasons paying a top flight running linebacker to be a backup? That's what I'm saying.
I'm just pointing out
he's just not available. It's not a fit right now.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out right now because we've got our eyes on a prize right now, and I totally agree with you. Well, we've got our eyes on a prize right now, and so trading away getting another middle linebacker to replace DeMario Davis is out of the question for both of us. So.
Right.
But I know in 3 years, we're going to be like, yo, we need middle linebacker.
Well, then we'll trade for him in 3 years when he burns a bridge wherever he's going. It's fine. Right now, there's nowhere to put him. And you can't put assets on the table and trade away stuff for a guy that you can't play right away.
Yeah,
That'd be like trading for another quarterback right now and expecting him to sit behind Jameis. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, I'm a no for both of these. Well, Kareem Hunt, I'm not paying him. We don't need to pay another running back.
I think his contract makes him a no for me too. Right. But I do think we need running back help. If there was a way to get him for cheap, I'm all on board. I think that would be explosive. But I don't see giving away Chauncey and a pick for Hunt and then having to pay him. It's just too much for me. That's a little rich for my blood. I just want to make Chauncey happy and roll with it. I like our roster right now. I don't want to mess with it. Mm-hmm. I want to see what this kind of depth at some of the important positions can do. And I want to see how that plays out for a season and counting our cards and being like, oh, we have some extra DBs. Let's go trade one for a running back. I don't like that. I want to run with what we have before we see whether or not we want to trade any of it.
Yeah. So you're not ruling out a trade during the season before the trade deadline, but right now you want to stay at Stan Pat.
Maybe there's a chance that, you know, you have a player who's in a contract year who feels like he's not being appreciated, that doesn't put the full effort in. And Chauncey does seem kind of emotional, high-strung maybe is a good word. So I could see maybe if we're not playing ball with him that he just kind of doesn't play up to his potential or he doesn't put in the work at practice. And if that's the case, you got to get him out of the building because there's no point in having a guy who's not putting it all on the field. So I could see a situation where, you know, we have to move a guy mid-season. But, I mean, all things considered, I would rather we run with it through the year and at the end of the season we see what worked, what didn't, and we go from there.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Let's wrap things up with our game preview. Saints versus Texas. Texans. Saturday.
Texans are in Texas. You're not wrong. It's fine.
Saturday at 7 p.m. God's time. All right?
God's time.
So, what are you looking forward to in this game?
Well, I want to see my guy Penning maul some people. I want to see heads coming off and arms being ripped off and their body. I want to see like a Wookiee in Star Wars ripping people apart. You know, I want to see that, but in a left tackle. I want to see the receivers. I want to see how that plays out. Obviously, we think Jameis isn't going to play. He shouldn't, even if he's able to go. So I want to see Book. I want to see how he I mean, he'll be playing against third stringer, so you're not going to learn a lot. But I do want to see if he's developing at all and how he can end up being the backup of the future, because ideally that's what you drafted him for, is to be your backup for the next, you know, 10 years. I'd like that to work out. So I want to see Book. I want to see Penning. Receivers are interesting. I don't put a lot of stock in the running back situation. Obviously, Kamara and Ingram probably aren't going to play. And the guys who are playing are going to be behind, you know, the Throckmortons and the Lamps and the backup linemen. So you can't really get a beat on how they're going to do. I want to see Penning. I want to see the receivers. I want to see Book.
Okay. I am interested in seeing the running backs.
The only thing I said I wasn't interested in.
the running backs, because, you know, like I said, we always find running backs off of, you know, the street somewhere. We put them in preseason. They blow up late. They look good. I want to see that. I've been hearing a lot of good things about Tony Jones Jr. Lately in camp. But I've also heard good things about Devon Azigbo, like last week, and Abram Smith, and also Malcolm Brown. So I'm interested in really seeing these guys fight it out and see who's going to take it home. I'm also interested in seeing how the team performs with the refs there. I don't want to see a whole bunch of flags, pass interference with a Debo.
You know, refs have been at practice the last couple of days,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, they have. I've heard nothing but good things there. That's good. But I want to make sure everything's good with our DBs, and I want to make sure everything's good with Penning. I want no flags. This is what I want. You know, because a lot of the camp stories have been about how the DBs have been shutting things down. And so I want to see that, you know, come to on when the lights are on. And also, I just thought about this, but with Jameis Winston being hurt, does that hurt other receivers, like the guys lower in the on the totem pole? Because now those quarterbacks are shifting, right? So Dalton moves up to the first unit, Book moves up to the second unit, and I guess whoever moves up.
aren't you the third string quarterback right now?
Exactly. Yeah. So now,
I don't think it does this week. I don't think Jameis was ever going to play week one of the preseason, honestly. So it might hurt their chances in practices going forward. Absolutely. But I don't think it really factors into this game. Like I said, everybody's talking about what are the star players they want to see back on the field. I don't think any of the real regular starting veterans are going to play in this game. Any of them.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see.
I would be a little miffed if they did. This is going to be one of those games where we're going to have to sit with our families and explain to everybody who the players are because everyone's like, who the heck is 45? Who's 92? Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's this guy. He's been on the practice squad for 3 years.
You better follow these Saints beat writers and get that roster.
You're going to have to sit next to Nick Underhill or one of us, and it's the only way you're going to know who everybody is.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm looking forward to drinking some beer and watching some football. Football is back every weekend. Woo! Until the end of the year. We have made it.
I'm so happy. So, I'm so happy right now.
There we go.
I'm so happy.
All right.
If it sounds like I'm crying, it's because I am. Oh, the Saints are back.
Heck yeah.
Oh, it is NFL season.
Let's go.
We've got a game on Saturday. Happy birthday to my wife, Kayla. It's her birthday on Sunday.
All right, happy birthday.
Which is why I'm glad that the game was on Saturday, because I wouldn't be able to watch it on Sunday.
Happy birthday to you. All right.
Is that it for us today,
that
guys?
That wraps it up for us on the beer run, bro.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this week. We know you have a choice in podcasts, and we're amazed you chose us. For my co-host, Little Dice, for Dave's loud-ass truck, and for the whole BS and Beer family, I'm the California Cajun. Have a beer. It's on me.
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com. Take it to the same home, but then take it to the field. 8-1 bout 11, 12, 13. East side soldier, press park 17. Representing the